Are people in Hollywood, the icons of every generation, the famous actors or actresses that wax wise and, you know, talk about what we should be doing and around the world or domestically, are they powerful?
Absolutely, to the extent that they become, as you just described them, and I think it's a nice word you used, icons, and to the extent that people invest in their celebrity, the idea that, you know, just because you're a great movie actress or actor or a great singer or writer or whatever, that you have wisdom that people ought to pay attention to. I mean, look at Lady Gaga, who since we don't have children, I don't know that much about her. But I do know that she has been very active on this issue of gay rights in the military and the don't ask, don't tell issue. And so she has tried and is quite successful in taking her celebrity and using it to affect the social issue that she cares deeply about, which is, you know, fine, and it's a good thing to do. But my point is that, you know, yes, I think, you know, celebrities, not only celebrities, you know, you can think about the rich executives, John Corzine in New Jersey, and now Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorina in California, and I'm sure there are a bunch of others who have taken the wealth that they has been generated and the positions and the prominence that have been generated in the business world and have tried to translate that into a form of power and political influence. So, yes, there's the power. Well, you can take power from one domain and try to use it in another.
And yet, in the case of Lady Gaga, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell failed. So does she really have any power at all?
Well, the question is, you know, it's like looking at, you know, it's looking at a car that's not going very fast. The question is, how fast would it not go if you hadn't, you know, done whatever you've done to, you know, put your foot on the accelerator? So I think she probably influenced some people, and, you know, and also.
But any of the people that actually voted, I mean, was there, I mean, let me say, I'll grant you that she influenced her fans. She might have influenced the curious. Who came by and stood there while she was doing this, you know, presentation in Maine, I think it was, or talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell on TV. But did one senator or one congressman or anybody that actually had power, did one person change their vote because of Lady Gaga? That defines the power, I would think.
No, that's probably right. And she certainly, by my definition of power, on this particular issue, she certainly wasn't able to get her way, at least yet.
Right.
Therefore, I would say she's not as powerful as some other people, that's for sure.
Well, I think that's the difference. I think we naturally think of celebrities as powerful, but I think there are lots of times when people are overrated in terms of their influence. And
I think that's absolutely right. And for the celebrities, I mean, the interesting thing about celebrities, the question that I would ask is, who made them a celebrity? I mean, the people who are powerful, the people who are, you know, the people who are more powerful than Lady Gaga and all these other people whose names I mostly don't know are the gatekeepers, the people that give them the access and give them the attention and the media focus and all those other things. So, you know, I think it's, so if you to say to, you know, who's the most powerful person at, you know, Newsweek or Time or pick your favorite magazine or Bloomberg Businessweek, it's not the authors. It's the editors who provide the access. And without that access, you would have no platform whatsoever.
Okay. And so, to use your definition of power, Lady Gaga doesn't have the power to make herself famous. It's the gatekeepers. They're the ones with the real power. They're the ones who decide, you know, we're going to follow this woman this week. And, you know, so one gatekeeper sees what the other gatekeeper is doing. He doesn't want to get aced out. So he or she will include the picture in the story of Lady Gaga. And next thing you know, she's the beneficiary of the others who truly have the power.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, I think, you know, anybody who's worked, and I have some friends who have worked in the media business, and in the movie business, they will tell you that the people, I think the phrase is green light. I mean, the people who get the green light or not, red light, I guess is the opposite, a project, those are the real decision makers, absolutely.
Okay. So how about for the political gatekeepers that we don't know who they are? Are there not those men and women, largely men, behind the scenes that are the kingmakers, and that they're the real people of power because they're the ones who will be, you know, selecting who the next candidate will be for the party or how much money that candidate will receive. I mean, aren't the most powerful people in our culture people we don't know?
In many instances, I think that probably is true. But when you talk about gatekeepers, I learned the lesson from my friend, the late Jack Valenti, who was for 38 years the head of the Motion Picture Association of America. And the key to his success in running one of the most successful lobbying organizations was to cultivate relationships with the secretaries and the congressional staffs. That the you know, so you, when you wanted to get in to see a congressperson or a senator, the person would make time, the person who controlled that schedule would make time on the calendar for you. And and the bills, of course, are written more by the staffers than they are by the senators and congresspeople. And so he actually, I think, had a very good sense of who had the real power and cultivated these folks by being very polite to them, as he should have been, and being very, you know, kind and deferential and you know, always being polite, you know, returning their phone calls very promptly within 24 hours, a habit that actually he learned when he was an aide to Lyndon Johnson.
What about these semi-secret organizations that meet, you know, behind closed doors? They will cross party lines frequently. They'll be the groups that gather on an island and, the literati, the glitterati of any one particular party, the knowing ones will get together and talk about the future and they set an agenda. We hear about it. I mean, it's not a myth. I mean, whether or not they're as powerful as people think they are, we do know these organizations exist. Would they not be? The fact that we don't get to know what they talk about, and we don't get to know who they are completely, does that not also speak to true power, that they have the ability to essentially make themselves invisible?
Well, I don't think they're completely invisible, as you just, you know, as you mentioned yourself. It is certainly the case that one of the ways in which people come to understand what they think, as a friend of mine once said, is you hear what you say. That's one way. And also, I think there's a consensus that develops in these forums where people, you know, discuss issues. I think there's the Jackson Hole group, which is, you know, the Federal Reserve and the big economist people.
Right.
There's an Allen and Company group that deals with the media. There's Davos, the World Economic Forum. There are a bunch of these things. And I think it's not so much that anybody goes there and sits down and plots to take over the world, because most of the people who attend these things have already, in some sense, taken over the world. It is more that they go and they share information and they share perspectives with each other, and out of that discussion emerges a common understanding.